Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Attention all theater lovers, this Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Happy Throwback Thursday, everybody.
Ring, ring. Happy Throwback Thursday, Rob.
Thank you. Kevin, guess where I am right now? This is a new thing for us, folks.
I have a feeling it's probably... It's warmer than where it is here because it's freezing in New York City right now.
It's freezing in California.
Oh, okay. Where are you?
Okay, so, folks, here's the deal. I came home. I thought I was going to be, like, having a nice restful vacation. And I could talk to Kevin on Skype like we normally do. And I told Kevin I can't do that because I had got so slammed with other things while I'm out here. So, anyway, I'm standing in a parking lot in the middle of Thousand Oaks, California.
Oh, my goodness. In front
of a Ross's. And I'm looking at a Total Wine, and I'm so desperate to get over there and just get myself a big bottle of scotch.
Well, at least he has options.
And say Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, you know, Festivus for the rest of us. But I'm standing literally in a parking lot doing my favorite things.
Well, thank you. And listeners, we apologize for being a wee bit late on this Thursday evening. This is the latest I think we've ever released the podcast. So we apologize if you were...
My mother always said, make them beg for more, and then don't give it to them.
Okay, Mama Rose.
I'm the best Mama Rose since Time Daily.
That's rough. That's mean. I saw the first preview of Bernadette.
Did you really?
I did. I remember it, and I liked her. Yeah, I liked it. I think she...
I am going to be a song. That's a horrible Bernadette
Thank
Peterson.
Thank you. That was a really horrible... Almost as bad as your Liza, but let's not go there.
Oh, you hurt my feelings.
Oh, dear. Oh, so how are things in California? Things are good?
Everything is lovely. Everything is good. I am standing in a parking lot!
Okay, that was my
Nathan Lane impression. I hope you enjoyed it.
I did enjoy it. I enjoyed it, I think. Did you? I think you did.
Listen to them shut off. They're going to something else. Anything big in theater news this week?
I'm trying to think.
Do we get nominated for a Tony yet?
Things are winding down a little bit. The Jagged Little Pill opened, I think, like a week ago, and that was very favorable, and it's everything you've said it is, and I can't wait to see it.
That was my 90s rendition. I hope you liked it.
Good. It was very grungy and very edgy, and I really appreciated it.
Thank you so much. That's the things I'm known for, grunge and edging.
There it is.
Edgy.
Oh, I can tell listeners I'm doing something this weekend.
What are you doing?
Area, I'm acting in a parody musical. It's a Very Mutant X-Men Christmas. So it's an X-Men parody musical. I am Cyclops. And it's a load of fun. It's at the Pitt Theater on Friday night at 8 o'clock and Saturday night at 10 p.m., the midnight viewing. And, guys, it's actually really, really, really funny. My friend Chris Bertels, our friend and colleague Chris Bertels, asked me to do it. And so it's loads of laughs. And
I am the Cyclops.
And merriment.
Kevin David Thomas.
Yes, yeah, my autobiographical musical. The Eye of the Cyclops. Anyway, so that's why I've been in rehearsals, and I just got home, and that's why we are talking late, listeners, if you're curious about our lives. Do you have a favorite thing, Rob? Hi.
Why, yes, I do have a favorite thing. Thank you so much for asking me. Can I tell you how much I appreciate your generosity and kindness during the holiday season?
My cup runneth over, Rob.
With love.
I just got it. My cup runneth over. With love. Very nice. Very nice. For those of you who don't know, that's from I Do, I Do. I Do.
No, it's from Philemon. The other Schmidt.
I like Celebration, so you can just shut it, okay?
All right.
Celebration. And listener, anyone? Yeah?
No.
So, favorite thing. Point.
Okay, so my favorite thing, now you're going to think it's a little odd, but I'm going to throw it out at you. My favorite thing this week is a person, an individual.
Oh.
Yes. Okay, so when we started this podcast, there was somebody that we really, really wanted for a guest. We still have not gotten this person as a guest, and I would love to have them as a guest, but I sort of went down a YouTube rabbit hole of him a couple of nights ago. And so my favorite thing this week is the one and only incredible Tony Award, Emmy Award winning actor, George Hearn.
Oh.
George Hearn.
Wow, yeah.
So, folks, I love the bass baritone voice more than anything. And George Hearn, well, I do. And George
Hearn. He has a distinct style
of
singing, too.
Okay, now let's be clear, Kevin. It's not only a double chin, it's a diagonal double chin.
No,
he opens his mouth, and his mouth, like, goes on a diagonal, and this gorgeous instrument comes out of him. So for those of you who don't know, George Hearn is what we call Len Carreyrou Light. And if you're on a Len Carreyrou diet, you just go to the store and you get some diet Len Carreyrou, and it's just a picture of George Hearn. George Hearn is a brilliant dramatic actor who starred in such things as Dracula at Theater Row and Scandalous, the Kathy Lee Griffin musical. But before all of those accomplishments, tell me, how dare you? Before all of those accomplishments, he was one of the go-to New York theater actors, especially for musical theater. Best friends with the great Colleen Dewhurst. You probably know him if you watch the Sweeney Todd movie, because he's not the Johnny Depp one, but like the real one with Angela Lansbury.
Oh, the real one, yes.
Because he took over for Len Carreyrou.
That's right.
And did it, and his performance is preserved on film. Also, Lacazio Fol played the role of Alban, introduced the world to I Am What I Am, although he sings and he doesn't really sound like,
Not at all.
I would love to see, though, George Hearn on RuPaul's Drag Race, because I think he'd be pretty good.
It was like when they dress up the dads. Like the Will Street guys.
When they dress up the dads. And they're like, George, what are you? I'm lip syncing to Lemonade. Oh, that's great, George. I'll do a cooter slam at the end. After Lacage, which he won a Tony Award, he was supposed to do that. Remember that Treasure Island musical? Like, it was called, like, 16 pieces or something like that. 8 pieces. I don't remember. Julie Stein, because when you think of the Caribbean, Julie Stein. Nothing says
she doesn't remember. I got another one. I can do one in 2-4.
He's a pirate! Yo-ho!
Rum! Jeez, slow down, Julie.
I think he'll be great. And then Sunset Boulevard, where he played Max the Butler.
I forgot about that.
Shaved his head. And let me tell you, if you're an actor and you shave your head, I applaud you. Because what you're telling the world at that point is that bald is beautiful and you have nothing to be ashamed about. So we are still holding out hope more than anything that George Hearn will actually return one of our phone calls and will come be on the podcast. I will go up to Essex County, wherever he is, and sit down and talk to him.
So this has been from year one.
Day one.
I mean, I remember the very first week that we did
this. I thought we were going to get him. His agent was like, he would love to talk to you guys, and then I never heard anything again.
Wow, you're really putting SOS out there. You're really
good. I really am, because I really want to talk to him, and I really respect him, and I really admire him. So my favorite thing this week is the incredible actor George Hearn, also Golden Girls fans.
He's just going to say that.
He's the teacher in the Chicken Little episode.
That's right. And he sings because of the Chicken Little episode. Yeah.
A piece of good luck just fell in my lap.
Again, full out. Like he's in an
rumor is that that song was actually written by Jerry Herman for the episode.
I did hear that rumor before. I love that. That's a good one.
And he again, also shows up on some Murder, She Wrote.
The Chicken Little. Yes, it's always funny when he does it. Lynn Carey did too. But you guys, the Chicken Little is the Golden Girls episode. Just Google that and you'll have to laugh. Rob, where else could you steer somebody if they did not know where to look for George Herman? What would you say you should Google?
You go, oh my God, go to YouTube.
Yeah.
And just type, oh my God, George Hearn, I Am What I Am. George Hearn, Sunset Boulevard. George Hearn, Sidney Todd. George Hearn, Rob Schneider has an obsession. George Hearn has a restraining order on Rob Schneider. George Hearn doesn't understand Rob Schneider. George Hearn doesn't seem to understand how much I love him and how much I would give for him. .com. .net. .edu. At Comcast. Okay, what's your favorite thing?
So funny.
Just hurry up. I think somebody wants to spot I'm standing in the parking lot.
no standing. I was trying to think of something in the holiday spirit, because this is the last episode we will have before the Christmas and the Hanukkah. And I wanted to do something in the holiday spirit. And I looked up shows. You know, we all know, like, Turkey Lurgy Time and et cetera, et cetera. Annie. But there's one of a show, and there's kind of a very interesting history to this show. There's a song in the show that's called "Who Says There Ain't No Santa Claus," and there's a total holiday theme in this musical. And the musical I'm talking about is that Golden Chestnut from 1951.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shana Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shana Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Flahuli. What?
Flahuli.
What is a Flahuli? Well, that's what the show is about. Flahuli. Flahuli. This is a musical that was written by the great American songbook writer Sammy Fain, who gave us such hits as, like, I'll Be Seeing You. He never had, like, a big, big, big musical. He wrote a lot of musicals on Broadway, like Hell's a Poppin' and Christine, but Ankles Away, and including the 1964 famous flop that there is, like, a little recording going around of Something More, which starred Barbara Cook.
Mm.
And he had first met her, or at least started working with her in this 1951 show, Flahuli, because she was starred in it, along with a bunch of other people. And there's another person that I've talked about on this podcast before who was also the star, whose name is Ima Sumac. That's right, the Peruvian songstress of, like, what, like a 4 or 5 octave range?
Yes.
You know, and she would do those, like, whoa, 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 like, I can't even try, and I'm going to, my family's sleeping, and I'll wake them up. Like I said, it was written by Sammy Fain, Yip Harburg, and Fred Sandy wrote the book and lyrics and directed it. And Yip Harburg, of course, this was not a hit, but people talk about this score as something that was just truly, really lovely. And it is truly lovely. And it's one of those scores from the late 1940s, early 50s that, you know, it was a show tune, a good old, you know, a great song. They were really, they're fun, they're silly, they're a little campy. They're very campy. This was definitely a satire piece. It was an allegorical tale. Yip Harburg had just been blacklisted because this is during the McCarthyism, and there's no secret that Harburg was a very political writer. He gave us Finian's Rainbow, which was very a political piece, and he had done lots of stuff in that vein. And this was a direct offshoot of the pressure he felt, the cynicism he felt about the whole system, and this was sort of his reply. And so this is a story Set, it's a sociopolitical story. There's a guy named Sylvester. He works in a toy factory. His assistant, Barbara Cook, that he's in love with, or their, you know, that love interest. And she lifts him up. He should, you could do more in the, it's E.G. Bigelow. Bigelow is the guy who runs the factory. This delegation, stay with me, from the Middle East, the Arabs come to town. They have a land, they are worried about their oil because of nuclear energy, political, that their oil be obsolete. They need this genie and this lamp because the lamp's broken, though, and they're a toy factory, and they can fix it. But the toy factory is making this doll called a Flahuli. Have I lost you? Is everybody still with me? And this Flahuli doll.
I'm up.
Okay. So anyway, it's a silly story, but basically this, and then this, it, just like in the 19, you know, these early musicals, they were contrived, and this Princess Najla, which is the Ima Sumac part, she just out of nowhere, she just sings these, literally there are no words, they are just vowel sounds for 4 minutes, but it's utterly fascinating. It's the weirdest thing. Her husband actually wrote those songs. Sammy Faye did not write those.
Oh, Sammy Faye wasn't good enough for the
No. Hubby wrote those three songs. And so, and you can tell the difference. I mean, you're like, what the heck is going on? Now, this album, which I find fascinating as I was doing research on it and looking it up, it used to be one of those quote-unquote lost musicals. That, you know, I'm talking about Rob and anyone who was like grew up in the pre-internet. These albums that were like, you, unless you found the original record, you never heard this album, and yes, people would talk about it, and it was for, and I, this is before our generation, but in like the 60s and until 1977 when it was re-released, it was this sort of like this treasured, you know, score, because everyone knew it was this fun toe-tapping score, and then it was put on CD in 1993, and then now it's like, you know, digital and all of that. But I just find it interesting that it was a sort of collector's item that people like our friend Peter Felicia have talked about and have a relationship with, and I read a couple other articles about it that just really held a fascination and to a lot of people. So anyway, my favorite thing is the cast album or the show. Flahuli. Oh, and at the end, the genie, after all this chaos ensues, he decides that he doesn't want to be genie anymore, and he decides to be Santa Claus. There you go.
Merry Christmas.
That's how he decides.
Well, that sounds kind of brilliant. Now, a little fun trivia. So you know how it was all about dolls?
Yes.
Okay. So Stephen Cole, one of our former guests, actually owns the Flahuli doll that was used in the original Broadway production. Now,
right.
I can't remember what theater was at. I want to say it was either like the Neil Simon or the Broadhurst or something like that, or the Music Box. I don't remember. Anyway,
yeah,
when we did a tribute of 54 Below to whatever that theater was, he brought in the Flahuli doll, the Broadhurst. He brought in the Flahuli doll, and the Flahuli doll did the step and repeat, and I'll send you pictures of it.
Oh, my goodness. Fun fact, the original doll from the original show was supposed to say, when you pulled the string, instead of laughing, because that's what it eventually did, but at first it said Dirty Red. That's how political it was.
Oh, that's hysterical.
Yeah,
well, it's so nice, and everything is still so political. And speaking of political, now that the president has been impeached, don't forget, Kevin and I are now taking over the presidency, and the opening day of Flahuli will now be a national holiday, so you will get that day off.
You're welcome.
We are tearing down the Washington Monument and putting up a monument for George Hearn. So it's pretty much the Washington Monument, just on a diagonal.
Okay.
All right.
Oh,
well, thank you. I wish everybody a Merry Christmas, a Happy Hanukkah.
Wonderful holiday.
Yes. And then if you don't celebrate, just enjoy your days and listen to Flahuli. I'm going to go now because I'm pretty sure somebody wants this parking space. Okay. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard. So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.